Welcome to Radio Renegade with your host, Christian from Philly, and Batman, brought to you by World Generation Network, and in part by WrestleCorp.com. And now, Radio Renegade.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Renegade. I'm the host, Christian from Philly, and Batman will be joining us today, but he's a little bit running a little late. So to fill him in until he gets into the studio tonight, here's our producer of the show, Minister of Sinister.
What's going on, Christian? How you doing tonight?
It's been great, man. Very hectic week of wrestling, don't you say so?
Oh, yeah, man. It's it was interesting. A lot of interesting things, you know, with Nia Jax jacking up Becky Lynch to start out the week. And then also, the interesting turn of events with AJ Styles and dropping the title to Daniel Bryan. And we're going to have heel on heel at Survivor Series. Just a lot of interesting things. Charlotte now replacing Becky Lynch. So, yeah, a lot of interesting week, to say the least.
Some might say that Daniel Bryan is getting punished because of the Crown Jewel incident and him denying he doesn't want her to go. That they're making him face Brock Lesnar as punishment for the whole Crown Jewel fiasco.
Wow. I mean, you know, it could be. But no, I think they're doing it just to I think that's just conspiracy theory. I think they're doing it to get it out of the way. As Joe Bates said on Fatal 4-Way Radio, it's something that people want to see, so let's get it out of the way. And, you know, while they're both still with the company, it just fell in their lap, I think. And I think that's what they're going to do. So, I don't know. It's going to be tough. We've got Daniel Bryan, who was the ultimate babyface, but now he's playing the part of a heel, it seems. And Brock Lesnar. So we'll see how this works out. I mean, if Brock Lesnar just goes out there and pummels him, and Daniel Bryan is indeed scheduled to take a pummeling while he's holding the title, no less, that would be also very interesting and probably piss a lot of people off as well.
Interesting fact, it was Daniel Bryan's idea himself that he wanted to turn heel.
Wow. Is that right?
Yes. It was his, somewhat like the Stone Cold Steve Austin heel turn. Just like Stone Cold Steve Austin wanted to turn heel, Daniel Bryan did the exact same thing.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you know, well, there it is. And there might be a price to pay with that heel turn. Who knows? Maybe the big bad heel, Lesnar, will put him down. But, you know, that would really hurt the belt, I think. But, I mean, something's got to give. You got two champions on the line, SmackDown versus Raw, so who knows? It might be one of those deals like he did to Orton a couple of years ago where he left them there. That was at, what was it, SummerSlam last year, the year before, whatever?
It was SummerSlam 2013. It was SummerSlam 2013.
Wow, it's been that long.
Yes.
Shit. But yeah, man, so we'll see how that develops.
But another reason why they don't care about Dean Ambrose and ruining his heel turn before it even began, WWE is making tonight, as we speak, that is premiering tonight after the NXT pay-per-view in the WWE Network, WWE Chronicles featuring Dean Ambrose, and it's a sympathetic documentary, even though he turned heel.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're clearly you know, clearly they do things on the network that doesn't even that they don't really care how it goes either way. You know, personally, I rarely watch the network except for when pay-per-views. I used to when I first got it, but now it's like I hardly ever put it on. And I have things that I want to go catch up on, and it's very easy to catch up on something. I mean, you can watch a whole season in a day if there's something not going on. In an afternoon, you can watch a whole season of that 30-minute show they have where they drive around from show to show. And I find that entertaining. I also like the ones that they do, you know, with the where they're at the table eating. That's pretty cool. I didn't care so much for the one where they were punking people. I mean, it was all right. Seeing Ric Flair really legitimately pissed off because they were punking him, I thought that was quite funny. But, yeah, man, there's a lot of things that happen on the network. I remember seeing Seth Rollins. They had one of him when he was a bad guy. He was in a full-fledged
hours.
Bad guy run. Yeah, and they had one of him. And, yeah, it was really good, man. I mean, it was, it was a real tearjerker and stuff. So I expect probably the same from Dean Ambrose. Might have to go back and watch that.
So let's get on with the show in the first segment. Are you ready, Minister?
Well, shit, man. I guess I'll have to be. Let's do it.
All right, so the first is misbooking opportunities, where we talk about misbooked opportunities. The first one is Nia Jax's recent heel turn, when Nia Jax joined with the forgettable Tamina Snuka, attacked Ember Moon, and that's about it. It just started, and I already hate it. What's your opinion about
her recent heel turn? I mean,
I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah,
I already
hate
it.
It's Nia Jax, dude. It's Nia Jax, so you're gonna hate it. A lot of people are gonna hate it, but I'm starting to like it. I'm liking what they're doing with the whole thing about utilizing Twitter for this feud. And she's putting a picture of her fist and saying that nobody's asking her how her fist feels and this and that. That's the type of thing that you have to do, man. You can't miss out on that. And to me, too many wrestlers do that. But then you have something where, you know, they bust it all up on the network, you know, the way they're doing this Dean Ambrose thing tonight, where they're going to show a sympathetic video of him when he's, you know, supposed to be this dastardly heel. So that kind of takes away from it right there, and I can see your point on where you could, you know, get the two confused for one another. But this whole thing with Nia Jax, man, I'm glad that they're, you know, there was word today, I saw actually yesterday, that she could be facing some actual legit heat, not only from wrestlers, but from, the WWE officials, as they say, about her, how she's hurt other people in the past. And I mean, I don't blame them. If I was a freaking wrestler, I might be like, hey, wait a minute, man. She needs to be disciplined for this because I don't feel safe in the ring with her now. At what point are people going to say, hey, you know what? I'd rather not do a program with Nia Jax because I don't feel safe in the ring with her. Because she's injured. I mean, you listed off a list of, what, 5 or 6 names?
I listed off 6 names on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Man, that's quite a bit. That's a long list of names there that she's injured. Was she the one responsible for Alexa Bliss? Do you know?
No, she wasn't the one responsible. I think that was not Rousey, but I think it was long term. But she was the reason why Bliss had to drop the title of Backlash, because she injured her.
Yeah. Getting back to Nia Jax, because this is about Nia Jax, her recent heel turn. I guess I would have to say that I'm enjoying it just recently as of late, only because they're utilizing the Twitter and the social media to elevate, to get that heat. However, I can see the point of people being upset by it because, I'm upset by it. I really wanted to see this match, dude. I mean, I really wanted to see this fucking match. And Nia Jax took that from me. So, it pissed me off.
In a way, it's a good thing because I don't think we would have gotten the no contest prediction right. I think Becky would have tapped out to Ronda.
Oh, man. Well, I guess we won't know now. But, and you know, but the thing I hate the most about Nia Jax, she's been in a company, I don't know, what, not that long, dude. 2 years, maybe?
She's been in the company since 2015.
Okay, well, there you go. 3 years. She's had a lot of main roster time now. A lot. And she's had, I don't know how many countless heel and face turns. And I think that just takes away from your character. She's definitely going to be a Big Show type. And,
Actually, she had her first face turn. She never had she always stayed a heel in NXT. Then when she debuted in the main roster, she was still a heel. It was until the feud with Alexa Bliss that's when her turned her first face.
Okay, and then she had another heel turn. So she's just been face, heel, face, three turns?
Yeah.
Well, it just seems that they were working her really bad here recently. I mean, if she's going to be a freaking heel, be a heel and be a monster. And I guess they've accepted the fact that she's a heel and they're trying to get this heel heat on her by the use of Twitter and all that shit.
Yeah, but how would Tamina Snuka help her, though? How would teaming up with Tamina help her?
I can't answer that. I don't think Tamina is designed to help her. I think the program is probably designed to help Tamina get back into the fold of things. I mean, she's been gone forever, and I think it was due to some injury. I don't think it was ever even disclosed. It was one of them deals.
Yeah.
So she's been gone forever. Now she's back, and I guess they're trying to utilize her again, get her back into the mix. I mean, I think it would have been just fine without her. You know what I mean? I don't think she adds anything to nothing. She's another Bobby Lashley.
Also, if I remember correctly, wasn't she on SmackDown? I don't remember her getting drafted.
Yeah, she was on SmackDown.
Well, I don't remember
her getting drafted.
Well, there you go. So the next one is an expert right now. You're an expert in WCW, man. You've seen WCW just like I've seen WCW.
Not during Horace Hogan. I don't even know who the hell he is.
Well, I explained Horace Hogan's the real life cousin / nephew of Hulk Hogan.
The real life.
Yeah.
Nephew of Hulk Hogan. Wow. Okay. Let me check him out real quick.
So he had a job. He was like the Brutus Barber Beefcake's replacement of him being his best friend, you know.
Yeah.
So Horace Hogan had terrible matches. It was pretty forgettable. So let's move on to the next one. Next one should be interesting. Billy Gunn's singles run in the WWF when he broke up the New Age Outlaws and went to a singles run, Minister. How did you feel about his singles run?
I mean, he was the ass man.
Yeah.
And clearly, he was wearing, you know, the tight pants and stuff. That was when he had, like, lips on his ass or something
He stopped wearing those when he went to singles competition. He repackaged himself. He wasn't calling himself the Ass Man no more. He wore blue tight tights and he called himself the One Billy Gunn.
Oh no, I don't remember that.
I'm an ass man.
When I saw this. When I saw this, I really thought you were talking about the Billy Gunn when he was, because I remember there was a time when he did have the lips and shit, but I guess he was in the tag team. It's one of them deals. like T-Rock talks about. Not T-Rock, but Hollywood.
He was still wearing it a little bit in his singles run, but then he changed it completely.
So he was wearing blue tights.
Yes.
Who did he? Who was he feuding with?
He was feuding with anybody. He was feuding with Edge at the time because of the whole King of the Ring tournament. He was feuding with Eddie Guerrero and Taina. And he was also part of the six-man tag match in the Invasion angle where him, Big Show, and some other guy faced the WCW wrestlers. And technically, he formed another tag team with Big Show called the Shoguns.
Oh, yeah, the Shoguns. So he was wearing blue tights, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was also having romantic feelings with China in a storyline too.
Is that right? And what did China do about it?
None. They were like friends. They cared for each other. Because they were part of DX.
Yeah.
Road Dogg was fired before Billy Gunn was fired.
Ah, yeah. And so this was at the point when after Road Dogg had been fired?
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you watch all this? Have you, like, recently watched this, or...?
No, I watched it all the time. I watched it through all my childhood. I remember everything through my childhood.
Damn. We're going to have to interview you on some other shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I clearly don't remember any of this stuff. Maybe I didn't even watch it. Who knows? I mean, you know, it's not like I've always watched it.
Well, technically, in the start of his singles run, he had a garbage feud with Road Dogg breaking up the New Age Outlaws. Do you remember that?
Maybe vaguely.
Well, the feud started like this. They wanted to see who was the better member of the New Age Outlaws, and they started feuding with each other. The confusing part is nobody could have told who was face or heel because they were both heels. So that's why the feud was garbage. No, who are they supposed to cheer for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, who were they supposed to cheer for?
Oh, remember Billy Gunn also made Billy and Chuck?
Chuck Palumbo?
Yeah.
Yeah, they looked like I think they were homosexuals.
They were pretending to be homosexuals just to get, you know, sympathy.
Yeah. I didn't care for that. That was during the, what was it? What were they on that at that time? Like TNN or some shit?
That was, I don't know, this SmackDown, they were in SmackDown when they did this. So SmackDown wasn't in TNN, they were in UPN.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But before we go to commercial break, let's talk a bit about Stephanie McMahon. I have a problem with Stephanie. She doesn't put talent over. It's been well documented that she never puts talent over. Only at WrestleManias, but not on TV and Raw. She never puts people over. Name one time she put somebody over.
Well, she was putting Ronda Rousey over, using air quotes.
Yeah, but...
She seems like she does it just like messing around, like not really doing it, only when she's like forced to, like when Ronda Rousey had her cornered. I mean, that's just part of her character, is, you know, she's Stephanie McMahon, the character. You don't like Stephanie McMahon? I've been watching her since she was, you know, since she was first started.
No, I don't like her, dude. Every time
I've always been a heel, I've always liked her.
It's just that every time she comes, once in a while when she comes to Raw, that's like the worst segment ever. I can't stand her promos, dude.
Yeah, you know, sometimes they're really lame to me. Like, here recently, she cut a really lame one, and I was like, shit, man, what was the point of her coming if she was going to do such a lame promo? But, yeah.
They advertised her coming because she wanted to discuss about the World Cup. That's what they advertised her for, but she didn't say hardly anything about the World Cup.
Yeah. That whole World Cup thing was a farce anyway, man. Everything was fucked up about it. First of all, they were all Americans, and then Shane O'Mac wins, and just the whole thing was, seems like it was mired.
Well, technically, Rey Mysterio is the only foreigner.
Well, if you ask me, I think he was born here, probably in L.A. or so. I don't think he's from Mexico.
Oh, fuck. Well, he's a liar, then.
Let me see. I'll fucking Google him right now, see where he's from.
San Diego, I think.
He was born in Chula Vista, California.
Oh,
yeah, he's a Mexican American. He's not from Mexico. But yeah, man. So they were all Americans, you know. And then Shane O'Mac won it, and the whole thing. It's one of them deals, man. We're in that down period. We're in that downtime right now. Fucking
yeah.
That pay per view sucked to me. What was it called?
Crown Jewel.
The Crown Jewel. Remember, we were texting back and forth during it.
Yeah, that's how bad
it is. I watched like the last parts of it.
Yeah,
I think I missed like the one or two matches or something like that, and then I caught the rest of it. But yeah, man, and then Evolution. I didn't watch any of it. I'm not interested in that shit, man. I'm interested in the main freaking storylines that are on SmackDown and on Raw. And if they're no good, I'm just not into it. And right now, they're hanging by a thread. They're hanging by a fucking thread.
Yeah. Hopefully that's like one of the last times they go to Saudi Arabia. Or if not, then we just have to watch another horrible pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia. But I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more stuff. We'll be right here if you need us, everybody. So we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Hey, you silly kids, it's me, Joe Bates, host of Rank You Very Much every Friday here on the World Generation Podcast, the show to determine things like best cereal, worst way to die, worst Full House character. There's only one stop to figure all that information out, and that's Rank You Very Much with Joe Bates every Friday with two different special guest experts on every show who have been on shows like Bob and Tom, Laughs on Fox, and Last Comic Standing. So definitely check it out. Play the theme song.
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, the greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned.
You want to see something really scary? Really scary.
You want to see something really scary?
Monday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. In association with Bud's Backroom, the greatest wrestling podcast. Monday Night Fallout returns with T-Rock Plutonium, Loverboy Langloy, Minister of Sinister, and special appearances by the Wolfpack, Hollywood KV, and more. Plus the rebirth of the IWC. Stay tuned on the World Generation Podcast Network. Monday nights will never be the same again.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Radio Renegade, where I'm your host, Christian from Philly, and right now we're going to discuss what the fuck moments, where we look at what
Michael
the fuck moments from any message.
What's going through your mind right now?
Sorry, dude. I'm not cued for that right now. Let's go ahead and do this one right now.
Michael McGillicuddy. All right, let's do
Yes.
What's going through your mind right now?
Who is he talking about here? Refresh everybody.
He's talking about Michael McGillicuddy, a.k.a. Curtis Axel. If you people don't remember, Curtis Axel was in the old crappy NXT where he fought against Caval for the finals. Caval won. But after the match, after the show, Curtis Axel cut a promo saying that this will be his genesis. Take a listen, folks.
Michael McGillicuddy, what's going through your mind right now?
I don't know what to say. Him? Him? You are going to go to a pay-per-view? And have a title shot? You have got to be kidding me. That's going to suck. I'll tell you that much. Doesn't matter what you think. You are nowhere near the level of Michael McGillicuddy. You understand me? Ever since I started NXT, I had one goal. And that is to become a WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Has been put on hold.
And unfortunately, I got eliminated today. And I lost my guaranteed shot at a title. But that is not going to stop me from becoming a future world heavyweight champion. See, I am the future of this company. I am going to be a big-time player in this machine called WWE. I am the next big thing. I am the next generation. And starting this moment from now, from this moment on, this will be the moment, starting now, of the genesis of McGillicuddy.
Would you please shut the hell up?
The fucked up part about this is that ladies and gentlemen, that Caval actually did have a championship shot in a pay-per-view, but that was his one and only pay-per-view match in ever, and then he got released later on. And the loser, McGillicuddy, went to the main roster. How the fuck does that make sense, ladies and gentlemen? That minister, did that make fucking sense?
Oh, man, no. It was I remember this. Now, this I remember. This was recently, and I remember it. Yeah, man. And what has McGillicuddy done, too, man? Yeah, the whole thing made no sense. I mean, fucking, to begin with, I never liked Caval to begin with. And then this shit with McGillicuddy was like, it was just really bad, man. And I remember watching this old NXT. I used to watch that shit. And actually, I watched NXT. Well, you know, I mean, I used to watch it, man. So I was okay with some of the things on NXT, but, like, this was not cool, man. I didn't care for this. I didn't care for Caval at all. I thought he was overrated. I just thought he was another midget at the time. You know, I saw no value in him at all. Looking back, I mean, it'd be good to see some matches against him and, you know, AJ Styles and some of these other shorter guys and stuff. But, you know, still, I don't think he had the personality for the main roster, Caval. So I thought it worked out good for him. And I think he asked for his release and got it. I think that's how it went down.
Yeah. And also, what doesn't make sense is that the people who gets eliminated from the NXT competition still goes to the main roster anyway. So what the fuck's the point of the competition?
Yeah. And then some of the winners, like, they're not even there anymore. Am I right on that?
Yeah. Wade Barrett's gone.
Yeah, Wade Barrett. There you go. Wade Barrett. Man, he was badass. I thought he was really badass, and honestly, I expected to see more out of him from his acting career than from what we've
seen. But you know who got in his way? Do hustle, loyalty, and respect. Burying Nexus in SummerSlam.
Oh, man. Fuck yeah, man. That's terrible. Just terrible. Yeah, I laugh, but yeah, it's fucking terrible, man. Fucking John Cena burying all of fucking. I was really digging Nexus at the time, man. Wade Barrett's promos were fucking badass, man. I could see him as being like. Man, he just had this freaking look, man. Just a badass guy, a man's man, and he could kick your ass this shit. And, yeah, I really enjoyed his character, man. Him as the leader of the Nexus. And then, of course, John Cena comes into the picture and fucking takes everything out. Takes everybody out. Fucking the whole Nexus is done. The whole Nexus was done just like that. But getting back to, what were we talking about, NXT?
Yeah. Talking about Michael
McGillicuddy
and how his career.
Oh, yeah, about the promo. The McGillicuddy promo. I mean, that's just a bad promo. At the end, it sounds like he's stumbling his fucking lines. You know, and it's like, what the fuck, man? He lost his train of thought. And which, don't get me wrong, it happens. It happens when you're on the show live. You know, sometimes I'll be sitting here talking and then I lose my train of thought. It happens. But, you know, he just lost it there at the end. And I think he just came up with that shit about being the, what was it?
The genesis of McGillicuddy.
The genesis. Get the fuck out of here. The genesis. Come on, man. You're going to have to do better than that. And it's funny how, you know, he never really became much. Everybody thought, you know, that he was going to be something special and stuff. And it just did not happen for him. And then right now he's got this, you know, ridiculous gimmick with the fucking what is it?
The
B team. I mean, come on, man.
In fact,
you're gonna have to do.
I can tell you the whole career of Michaels and the Gillicuddy, folks. Let's make a game out of it.
Let's do it. Let me kill that music. All right.
All right.
Yeah, we'll kill that music.
All right. It's time to play Michael McGillicuddy, Here's Your Life. We go one by one his whole fucking career. The first time was in NXT, he lost. Then, around Survivor Series, I think, he helped Wade Barrett defeat John Cena, so John Cena had to join the Nexus. Michael McGillicuddy joined the new Nexus with CM Punk. Then the new Nexus got disbanded. Then he was a single star. He really didn't do anything. Then he won the Intercontinental Championship against Big E. Then he joined Paul Heyman in Ryback, being the new Paul Heyman guy. Got dropped real quick. Then became his own man again, didn't really do anything, did fuck all. Then he joined the Royal Rumble, and then he started to get over with him still being in the Royal Rumble, but that got dropped quickly too. Then he stole Damian Sandow's gimmick of impersonating wrestlers, and he impersonated Hulk Hogan, Axel Mania. That was dropped because Hulk Hogan dropped the N-word, and he was racist, and he got fired. So Michael McGillicuddy couldn't do the gimmick anymore.
That's all you had to say.
Then Michael McGillicuddy stayed off TV for a while, returned, did some...
Oh, my God, who the hell cares?
Then returned again, had matches with Main Event or whatever. Then returned again and joined Miz in the Miztourage. Miz got drafted to SmackDown. The team broke up. And now he's currently in a worthless, boring
Woo-hoo!
Team called the B-Team. That is the whole career of Michael McGillicuddy.
Man, sorry, fucking fun. Ladies
what
and gentlemen,
Lord.
Batman.
Hey, Batman.
Hear ye, hear ye. Batman has entered the castle. I'm a little late in the game, but at least I'm in the game. And sometimes,
yeah.
As long as you get in the quarter, even if it's after the halftime show. Hey, how you doing? The realest guy, bada boom, realest guy in the room. How's it going, guys? Man, I'm excited to be on.
Good,
you're
sitting
here talking about Michael McGillicuddy.
Michael McGillicuddy, I heard. I heard a little bit. At least I caught the end.
His whole career is awful. I just
Can I say something about Michael McGillicuddy? Here's the thing about him is that I love his father so much, Kurt Hennig. The sad part about that is not the fact that I love his father. It's the fact that I love his father so much that his son is actually a lot like his father. He has a lot. He is a talented guy. When The Rock came back in, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but from my sources as the greatest detective that ever lived, The Rock was actually training with him when he first started coming back, when he was doing that little run with his WWE title with the John Cena
That's true.
Michael McGillicuddy is the one who trained him. I can't put my finger on who else, but he's actually helped a lot of other stars come back when, before he started having his own little run with the Axel Mania and all that other stuff that he was doing, and the thing with Bo Dallas, not the Outsiders, I forgot what it was called. They were not the B team. I can't even think. And see, that's the terrible thing is that I can't even remember a lot of stuff that he did, but he really is a good talent. If they were to give him the position or give him – the thing is, I think they have given him the time and the position. And here's one of those where – Christian, you like to say this a lot. I'm going to call you out on it. Sometimes you call it out on creative, but sometimes it really is the star. And I don't want to say anything bad because, again, I love his father, and I do love Michael McGillicuddy as the person. But his charisma thing is just not – it's starting to hit stride right now with the B team thing.
Exactly.
And you know why it works? Because we do kind of see him as the kind of B team person. Look at Bo Dallas. That's the reason why that works too. And it's not something that you want to say in a bad way, but it is what it is. But he is a good talent. Now there's something you can't take away from the guy. He really is a lot. He's a lot like his father. Sometimes I can't help but when I look at him, think of Dolph Ziggler, because Dolph Ziggler is like a Kurt Hennig or a Mr. Perfect and a Shawn Michaels mixed together. And that's just, and that's not even blood. He is the Kurt Russell of the WWE. Snake, right? Or Snake, something like that, from Escape from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Uh, Yeah, Curtis Axel, but, man, he really is a good talent. He's just he's just one of those where it's just not there. But like Bo Dallas, he's following the shadow of his brother, you know, and they're just in one of those awkward positions. No matter how much you're going to try to push those guys in, and I wish them the best, and I really do want to see those guys really like have a good decent run, and they did just recently. That's good. That's something you can't take away from them, but that there really is an it factor for a reason, you know. So
that music is a cue because the next segment is what the fuck moments where we talk about what the fuck is going on.
I'm gonna let you guys take over from here, man. You'll have a good night, guys. Have a good show, man.
All right.
Yes,
all right,
sir,
man.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, man. So anyway, the first what the fuck moment is I can't digress this. Oh my god. In all my sports, wrestling, entertainment beliefs, I watched it all, but I've never heard of a fucking booker putting himself in a match and actually win the fucking company's world title. Fucking Vince.
Just admit.
What the fuck?
Fucking Vince Russo winning the WCW championship, Batman.
No, well, I want to correct you on that. There have been promoters that put themselves in the championship title picture. The only thing is that Vince Russo
is not a wrestler.
Just,
dick some respect.
Yeah, okay. Bro. I have an idea. Park the car in fucking Harvard Yard. Look, Vince Russo, exactly like we said, he's not a wrestler, and he just had this hype. I mean, look, I listened to the guy's podcast, so I'm not saying – I'm not coming from a biased or unbiased or however you want to say, whatever spectrum you want to think I'm coming from. I'm coming from – I do listen to the dudes. I respect the guy. But he only got what he got. He got the name in WWE, but at the end of the day, Vince was the one that just – he's the end-all, be-all, you know? So – he came to WCW with his fame and glory, blah, blah, blah. He's not the only one, because Vern Gagne used to do it all the time. A guy, I can't even think of his name, World Class Championship Wrestling, Von Erichs. He used to be in the title run all the time. But again, they were wrestlers, and this was their territory. Vince Russo, just like Vince has been the champion, but he knew what the fuck he was doing. This is another Vince that had no fucking clue what the hell he was doing.
Yeah.
Again, I listened to his podcast, not to hate on the guy either. Some stuff, okay. Because some stuff he did, in the Attitude Era, he did come out with good ideas. But again, he was still turd. In the WCW, he wasn't. Just like when he had that match, what was that, with Buff Bagwell's grandma? The grandma on the pole match or something like that? Yeah. He wasn't filtered so much, so he had the free reign. Dude, I think Vince Russo, that title run, if he's listening to this, bro, I apologize. It's just the way I feel. Look, his run was worse than the David Arquette. And actually, if you keep up with wrestling now, David Arquette has been doing fucking great in the indies. RJ City, Arquette City, he's been fucking doing awesome. He had a tag team match with Shane Helms. But this, we're running off, Vince Russo, trash. Sorry.
The reason why I take David Arquette's title reign than Vince Russo is because David Arquette didn't want to be champion in the first place.
No, he didn't. He didn't. You're absolutely right. He was actually on Stone Cold podcast some months back. And I think I've actually mentioned this in another podcast before. He was on a podcast with Stone Cold, and he mentioned how he was like, you know, I actually have respect for the business, which he does. He was in Ready to Rumble, the movie. He's always respected just the people. When you listen to the podcast, I mean, just from there, you can catch on that he's knowledgeable in the history of, you know, the companies and territories in those days. And he mentions where he wasn't he didn't want the championship, but it's something that they offered to him. He's like, well, and in reality, look, maybe a lot of people didn't agree with it back then. I was a kid, so I was kind of, oh, cool. He was just in that movie, so I was in that spectrum of it was still fantasy, you know. But in reality, if you stuck with that opportunity, would you not take it? So he took it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But his title run is still better than Vince Russo's, you know, so that's that.
All right, so the next what the fuck moment is Kane getting absolute murdered in a limo crash. This is during the Shane McMahon feud with Kane, and Shane McMahon tricked Kane into entering a limousine, and Kane released the brakes, and Kane crashed in the limo. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
What the fuck?
I'm not saying what the fuck because of the moment. I'm saying what the fuck because this was garbage. First of all, Kane was in the back of the limousine. So even if he got hurt a little bit, he wouldn't be fucking all that they saw was fucking blood coming out of him, fucking injuries and black and bruises. So that's fucking bullshit. If you really want to injure somebody in a limousine crash, kayfabe-wise, you put him in the front of the fucking vehicle, not all the way in the fucking back. That's why I'm saying, what the fuck? It was garbage.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
What the fuck?!
To me, I take segments like that where you know when you watch movies and they have these little cut scenes where it's like they're going from one character and all of a sudden it changes the frame and it's another character's face, but then they change the frame and it's that same character again, but he's not wearing there. It's like let's say in one scene he's holding a water gun and it's to the left. He's talking to the guy, the person he's talking to, the go frame goes to him, it goes back focus to the previous person with the water gun. And it's a different color water gun. You go back to the person he's talking to, then go back to the previous guy with the water gun, and it's back to the color it was previously. You ever notice those in movies? That's how I took that segment. Like, it was just
And another thing that bugs me, right? During the aftermath, JR is talking somberly, like he's sad for Kane. Why the fuck are you sad for him? He's the one who fucking burned you alive in an interview segment, you idiot. Why are you so
Jim Ross?
Yeah.
This is madness.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're correct. When he had that previous, was it like a week? The week before, right? Or was it the week before?
The week after. The week after he got unmasked.
Well, no. I'm talking about when you're talking about how JR was sympathetic in the commentary, when he just when he just literally just recently got burnt, which was like a week or two before that segment, correctly, if I remember correctly. Yeah. No. You know what? You are correct. I never actually noticed that. He was talking about him in a sympathetic manner, and he literally just got burned on Raw on live TV. Like, you know what? I never noticed that. That's okay.
And another thing, why the fuck are you being sorry for him? And why are you treating Shane like he's the fucking heel in this? Fucking Kane tombstone Linda in the stage on Raw. You would think Shane was fucking... Why the fuck... What fuck? Why are you treating Shane like he's the fucking bad guy? He's not the fucking bad guy.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
And also, why the fuck does Eric Bischoff care about Kane and blame Steve Austin for it? Why the fuck does Eric Bischoff care that Kane gets hurt? He hates Kane.
Exactly.
I've never seen it in that perspective.
Like, wasn't Kane the one who choke-slammed you out of the stage when he got unmasked and he was helping RVD? Why are you caring about his well-being? Why are you... It's like, this segment fucking has plot holes in it. Like, it ruins...
You know, the only thing I could piece together from that, though, is at this time, too, he was coming out with that movie, right? The See No Evil?
No, this was earlier than that.
It was earlier than that, right?
2004.
Well, yeah, right. Okay. All right, but before we get to that, though, I guess how can I say it? This was a time when they were taking off the mask. Here's the thing is that Kane was known for his mask, right? It's kind of like with Lucha in a way. When they take off their mask, you still got to have a sympathetic thing to them, because when they take off the mask, it's actually disrespecting the culture. And in a way, you're turning heel. Like when Eddie Guerrero did it, when he was, I believe he was Tiger Mask, Black Tiger or something like that. And he went off and he said, I'm going to take off my mask and all this other stuff. And it was like a disrespectful thing. But he had to do something to make that sympathetic. So maybe what their angle was, because I'm seeing what you're seeing now. I've never seen it in that perspective. You are correct. That just kind of like, well, what the fuck? Kind of like, yeah, you know, it's just like what in the movies. Sometimes you're like, yeah. Sometimes in the movies you don't understand why they're taking
that
angle.
What the fuck was that?
Maybe in their thing was, look, Kane was, for once, was taking his mask off. We were still trying to keep him relevant. And how would you be, okay, I guess in their head, their reaction was going to be initially like, oh, well, he took off his mask. We don't like him anymore. You know what I mean? He wasn't going to be a fan favorite or somebody. He was going to lose his sparkle kind of, you know. I don't know if that makes sense. So what they were trying to do was make him. They were trying to since he's being unmasked, they're trying to humanize him. We do see his face now.
Wrong.
Because at that time, he was talking about how my face was deformed and it's hideous and all this stuff. But he looked regular, right? And they were actually talking about that in commentary. We're like, well, his face, there's nothing wrong with it. There's something wrong with his mind. That's why he thinks that he looks ugly and blah, blah, blah. So maybe what they were trying to do was, I see what you were saying, but maybe what they were trying to do is, because he was taking his mask off, was trying to keep him relevant and humanize the guy. And the only way to do that is to have some kind of sympathy or empathy for him and his feelings. Like, why is he going this crazy? This is a different Kane. This isn't a Kane that we know. Because at that time, Kane was crazy, but this was when he was like the unmasked Kane. Like the unmasked Kane in the feud that he had with Shane, that was a lot of like crazy vicious stuff like that he was doing. There was a point where he put the battery, like with the battery, right, the car battery, and plugged it up to Shane's nuts fucking hanging on the fucking turnbuckle. That's some crazy ass shit. So for
also,
that,
you're a smart motherfucker.
He's becoming a crazy ass demon, but you got to humanize the guy in a way, because you're still seeing his face throughout the whole time now. He's not just having a mask.
Also,
you know what I mean? You can't see his features.
The real fucking heels and the whole Kane unmasking are fucking RVD and Stone Cold. They're the ones who pressured him to take off the mask in the first place.
We're supposed to be fucking professionals.
They're the real heels in this story, not Kane. Kane got pressured.
But see now, but look, you were just talking about how that didn't make sense, but look, now you're feeling sympathetic. He did get pressured.
I'm not sympathetic. I'm just dumbfounded that
see,
the writing
okay,
was...
Well, I guess your cadence and your cadence, the way you delivered it was, hey, he did, you were like, well, he was pressured. It wasn't Kane's fault. But that was the whole point of that storyline, was it's not Kane's fault. There's something wrong with him. There's something going on in his head. Why is he acting this way? He's never taken his mask off. He snapped completely. But you just said that yourself now. Like, well, it wasn't his fault. You're right. It was the RVD and Stone Cold pressuring him. Because at the end of the match, remember, he was kind of like that old, should I not, and blah, blah, blah. And then they took off the mask, and he had half his head shaved, and he had the makeup all smeared. And you're right. But that's, I guess, what I explained is exactly what maybe that's what they were trying to do. Because you just said that yourself. You know, like, it wasn't his fault. That's a form of, like, sympathy. Like, maybe it wasn't his fault. It really wasn't Kane's fault. He wasn't going to take the mask off to begin with. He was pressured to do it, you know, and maybe that's what that whole, like how I said, was maybe that was their goal, was to try to keep him, to try to humanize the guy, because he was taking his mask off again. That's, in the luchador aspect of the world, that's a disrespectful thing, right? So in this business, in that business, he's taking his mask off, right? So you're not going to see Kane the same anymore. Because I remember at that time, two people were like, oh, he's not the same. Blah, blah, blah. So what do? You try to sympathize, or this isn't his fault. This isn't, it was, you know, there's something made him take his mask off. What? How does he say that he's hideous, but his mask or his face is perfectly fine? You get what I'm saying? Maybe that was their goal, again, to keep him relevant.
They ruined Kane's origin story in the 90s because they said that he was in a fire and his body was burned. Yeah, in a segment of Raw, he was taking his blood to see if Paul Heyman was his father, and his arms were not burned. So if he was in a fire, wouldn't his arms be burnt too, not just his face? In fact, his whole body.
Madness.
I don't know. But let's move on to the last what the fuck moment. This one's recent.
What the fuck is going on?
Shane McMahon winning the World Cup at the Crown Jewel Tournament. Look, everybody, we talked about this after the pay-per-view. I'm still confused with the why they did it. It was a farce anyway. It was a crappy World Cup, but let's be honest. Come on. They couldn't have an alternative wrestler waiting at the backstage to just win this stupid cup and replace The Miz. They had everything. They couldn't bring back Randy Orton. They couldn't replace Randy Orton with The Miz, a guy who was the most freshest in the SmackDown side, a guy that didn't get too much damage in the tournament, and he got eliminated quickly. They couldn't bring Orton back. No, Shane McMahon had to win the World Cup. McMahon has to win everything. I don't know, man. I know there's good reasons behind it, but in my personal opinion, I think it was fucking stupid and a waste of time.
What the fuck?
See, there's a thing in the business that they call ribs. What if this thing was just a fucking rib? They went on for a week saying who's going to be the best in the world. Kurt Angle doing this whole fucking angle. In a way, it kind of put him back into the thing because after that, he just had a match with Drew McIntyre and somebody else before that. Like, he's going to have a couple matches in. So maybe that's they were really focused on him and really putting the shining a spotlight on the guy. You know, he was doing his little promos before the thing, right? And they were really promoting the best in the world, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that was just a rib the whole fucking time. Was just like, why don't we just make him think that this is going to be like the best fucking thing in the world, just like in the greatest Royal Rumble and blah, 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 you know, getting the trophy, and at the end we just kind of just like pull the rug right under their feet and just be like, hey Shane, you win it. You know what I mean? And as crazy as that sounds, honestly, they do stuff like that. You know what I mean? Because that's the wrestling fucking business, like a circus. You know what I mean? It's just like, which way are you gonna go?
So, I understand that, but they should never have done it in a fucking pay-per-view. Don't do it on a live fucking pay-per-view. Do it at a live event.
Will you stop?
I don't care. Do it at a live event, but don't fucking build it up and do it on a fucking pay-per-view. That's my complaint. Because it's stupid on a fucking pay-per-view.
Yeah, but we're not the ones who paid for that pay-per-view. The Saudi Arabia thing was all sponsored by somebody who had fucking money. At the end of the day, this is a fucking business, and would you not fucking do it for the fucking money? Like, look, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Of course, I play music and stuff, and I can be one day be like, well, I get a deal. Maybe I don't want to do it because they're going to try to make me – and it's happened to me. As a matter of fact, they tried to put me somewhere else, and that wasn't what I'm feeling, so I just didn't. But at the end of the day, it's money. This is what they asked for. You know what I mean? This is what they paid for. Literally, every fucking match or the people that came out and made little appearances and stuff, it's because exactly what the people wanted. They paid for this. Well, the pay-per-view that we saw was not a WWE, we'll say sponsored. I don't want to say sponsored. It's not the right word. It wasn't a WWE mainframe kind of thing. It was Saudi Arabia put a lot of fucking money in this. They want to see what they want to see. They don't get it a lot. So if they're going to get it, they want to see who wins and this and that. They're going to put in their request.
Exactly.
Perfect example. I just listened to the Edge and Christian podcast where Shawn Michaels was talking about this, where he was at the pay-per-view that just happened, the Crown Jewel. And he's like, hey, the only reason I came back was they requested me. They're not verbatim, it's not what he said, but they requested certain people to come and, you know, hey, this is a good thing. You know what? At the end of the day, people don't agree with me coming out of retirement because I said I wasn't going to come back. But if I was going to come back, this was an ideal place because they were not only just offering the money, they were asking me for specific people. And I work with people that I already worked with before, which, you know what, makes fucking perfect sense. Because Shawn Michaels, we want to see him with AJ. I want to see him with Tommaso Ciampa, but he's never worked these guys. He hasn't been in the ring in 8 fucking years. So to come back out of nowhere and perform the way you expect him to perform with someone he's never been in the ring with, it's not going to happen that smoothly as we want it to be. But if you put him in a scenario where, hey, he's been in the ring with Deadman, those two WrestleManias are considered the best fucking WrestleManias ever. WrestleMania 25 here in Houston, Texas, considered it, it toppled WrestleMania 3, Macho Man Randy Savage versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat for the Intercontinental Championship. It toppled that as one of the best fucking matches in WrestleMania history. Right? So, again, these are people he's worked with. When he came back and he retired supposedly the first time in 2000 and came back 2002 with Triple H, again, he came back in a ring with somebody he was comfortable with. Maybe he didn't – he was never in the ring with Triple H before that previously, but that's his fucking best friend. So he felt comfortable coming back, and that's what sparked that thing for him, right? Well, here we go again. Round two, 8 years later. It is 8 years. The thing is, when he came back before, he was 34, 36 years old, 4 years difference. He's coming back 8 years away from the ring, and he's 53. It's not the same fucking game, you know what I mean? So, mind my French, it's not the same freaking game. So, to come back, and I understand where he's coming from, like, you know what, you're right. You're coming back working with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Kane, people you've already been in the ring with, people you know. All you're really going to do is go and put your popcorn in your – it's like you're going to movies. You're going to get your same treats that you get all the time because you know what you're going to do. That's exactly what it was, a walk in the fucking park with these guys. If you haven't seen, there's a meme where he's hugging Triple H, they're in the corner, and he goes, oh, we're too old for this. You know, and they have it captioned or whatever. Because he says they're mouthing, he's mouthing it. We're told, but he felt that was his comfortability. Imagine him coming back with Tommaso and AJ. Honestly, you know what, putting in that perspective, it would have been shitty. So, again, but going back to what you're saying with the Crown Jewel, this was just a match. This was just a fantasy match. You know what I mean? It's like we have fantasy league and football and stuff. This was just a fantasy thing, and it just happened. Saudi Arabia.
Yeah!
They paid for fucking everything. They paid for the production. They paid for the movie. They paid for the seats that you sat in. The show that we saw on the network.
Negro. That's all.
They
you
just
had
to give them what they wanted, and it. But I get where you're coming from too. Where it's a shitty thing. Like it, they shouldn't have done it that way. But man, who are we to say that we didn't pay for it? So
yeah.
I do get what you mean too, because it didn't make sense to me either. I was like, how the fuck? But at the same time, maybe
it was like, all right, go.
At the same time, maybe in their head, they were like, well, how do we work around this so we don't lose? Because they were promoting that they were going to lose a SmackDown star if he lost, right? Well, how do you do that? Just put in the general manager and make him win.
Yeah, but what if he well, I don't know. Well, we'll be right back with commercial breaks when we're going to talk about what if scenarios and all more. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
What the fuck is going on?
Everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinions, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
You want to do another radio show? Yeah, no, what do you want to call it? You want to call it Drinking Soda, but you don't want to call it soda, because where you're at, they drink pop. Nobody wants to drink pop, you Santori. I got a better idea. It's on Tuesdays, right? Tuesday nights? Okay, well, you did Rippin' Fridays, you did Saturday Night Special, you did Tuesday's Gone. Hey, let's face Tuesday together. All right, cool. Facing Tuesdays with Santori. Tuesday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. Sounds great? Great. Let's do it. Yes, I'll make sure to let everyone know you figured out how to use Instagram. Okay, bye. Are you ready for some more wrestling talk? Join Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, headliner Joe Bates and Rancho punk rocker Albert Salazar as they recap some of this week's shenanigans in the WWE. Fatal 4-Way Radio makes its triumphant return to the World Generation Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Radio Renegades. I'm your host, Christian, and my co-host, Batman. And just to remind you folks, tomorrow we're not going to have the greatest talk show on Sunday tomorrow. Instead, we're going to have Survivor Series Fallout, where we discuss the results, the review of Survivor Series. Join us tomorrow after the pay-per-view. But right now, we're going to discuss what if scenarios, where we talk about what could have happened but never will be. All right, Batman, you ready?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Serve it up.
All right, so the first one is, what if Cody Rhodes won the Money in the Bank instead of Damian Sandow, Batman?
If Cody Rhodes did that, hindsight's 2020, he'd still be in the game right now, and he wouldn't be as happy, and we would have never gotten All In and the Bullet Club the way it is now. So I'm okay with that. And that's really what, I mean, that's the answer for that. I'm okay with him not winning because he wasn't ready. It really, it's the truth. He was not ready at the time.
What if he did win it? What if he did?
I mean, if he did win it, then I could have seen him and Damian Sandow going and doing a little series because they really were. That little feud, they kind of did pull the trigger a little too early when they canceled it out. So, I mean, if he did win it, it would have been. It would have. I would have liked to see that little feud going on.
And what if he won the world championship?
Oh, I actually would don't agree with it. To be honest with you, I don't. I never saw him as a world champion there. Not because he couldn't. He didn't deserve it. It's just he didn't need it, man. I see Cody Rhodes. I've always seen him, and it's crazy part is I've always seen him. Even at a young age, he didn't need it. He was like his father. You know what I mean? Just like Goldust. They just had this certain thing about them where he didn't need the championship. You know what I mean? Goldust never got it. The Dusty Rhodes, I mean, yeah, Dusty Rhodes never got it. And they're fucking legends. They didn't need it. But Roddy Piper never got it. But they got their Hall of Fame rings. You know what I mean? So you don't need the championship. Cody Rhodes didn't need it. There's a lot of stars right now that I feel like don't need it. You don't need it.
Here's the last question to this what if. Would Cody Rhodes been a face or a heel Money in the Bank holder?
Easy. He would have been money. He would have been a heel. Because I believe he was face at the time, right? As soon as
he got that. He was faced when Damian won it.
As soon as he got it, I would have seen him turn heel, and Damian Sandow on her face. It feels like, because Cody Rhodes is an awesome fucking heel, awesome heel, and I feel like that's the perfect position to put him in. Like if we're gonna put him heel, what better way to do it than to win the fucking thing and then put yourself as like, of course I won this shit. I'm fucking Dusty Rhodes' son. I'm Cody Rhodes. You know, I'm fucking beautiful. And then go back to his heel thing because he was a badass heel before that, you know what I mean? So what a perfect way to slap somebody in the face and be like, have the people behind you, and then when you win and be like, I don't win this because of you, I won this because of me. Fuck you, you know what I mean? It would have been an awesome fucking heel run. I never see it as him winning the championship in the end, and it's nothing against Cody. I love the fact that he's NWA because he's, or he was, I'm sorry, he was NWA champion. And I mean, what? That's a lineage. WWE is one thing, but, I mean, as a wrestling fan, hey, that is the great fucking championship. But some stuff is like the lineage, the heritage, the you know, the accolade of it, and it's like, hey, that he just held a title that his father fucking held. His father never held the WWE title, but he held that NWA title. Right?
Did he lose
so,
it?
Huh?
Did he lose
yeah,
the
he
title
lost,
already?
Yeah, he lost it.
To who?
I believe so. Didn't he lose it back to Nick Aldis?
I don't know. I haven't watched.
Yeah, I believe he lost it back to Nick Aldis.
Damn it, dude. What a horrible reign.
No, it wasn't horrible.
I'm sorry, what a short reign.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you don't always have to have a good reign, a short reign. A lot of championships
I know why. I know why he lost it. He's going to WWE.
No, I don't think he's coming back yet. No, because he's got All In 2 to do.
No, they're saying the Bullet Club's leaving WWE.
Is there rumors? I know there's been feelers for a while, but is there rumors that they're really going to WWE? I don't think so.
Yeah, there is.
I don't think they'd be smart on them, though.
I don't know. It's up
it
to
not
him.
Be
He's
smart.
A grown man. He's a grown man. He needs to decide what he wants to do.
Yeah, but look, it wouldn't be smart. Look, okay, the Bullet Club right now is outselling WWE shirts. Hot Topic, The people that work for Hot Topic and do the whole shirts and blah, 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 the bidding, they went to events and literally fucking was like, hey, we want those WWE shirts. They were like, oh, those aren't WWE shirts.
Let me go to the article.
Nope.
Let me find it. Let me just type Cody Rhodes' name and it will pop up or something. Let's see. Oh shit. He's injured. Cody Rhodes is injured.
Yeah, his elbow or something like that. He's on a little cast thing. Like a little
his
slingy.
Knee. He's
is,
gonna
is
have
it
his
knee?
Final Yeah, his knee.
No, I swear I just saw pictures of, who was it then that I saw pictures of him? Somebody had a little slingy on. Like an arm
sling. It says he's gonna undergo knee surgery in January. Oh fuck, dude, he torn his meniscus.
So, talking about heels, because he's a good heel, and this is breaking news.
Yeah.
Breaking news. KRVS, this is Pastor Pine bringing out the wrestling news out from the WWE Universe. Tommaso Ciampa beat Velveteen. I was about to say Velveeta. Velveeta Cream. He beat Velveteen Dream, which, no, I'm just saying because in case Joe Bates listens to the podcast, he was wrong. I was right, so that was the tiebreaker, supposedly. We had on a Fatal 4-Way. I was right. Tommaso was going to win. So, and Tommaso would be an awesome feud. I can see Tommaso and Cody Rhodes going together. I can see how that the Bullet Club, the dynamic versus Tommaso. Like, Tommaso is like, I don't need nobody. I'll beat all your asses right now. And not even do it like a badass version, but like be like real grimy the way he is and take down all of them. Like, I could see his dynamic being Stone Cold taking down all of DX when he was doing that. That's Tommaso doing that to the Bullet Club. Like, I could see that working out, playing out in the series, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, anyway, the next moment, you know, what if scenario. Do you remember a pay-per-view called Capital Carnage?
Yeah. I don't remember the matches and stuff, but I do remember just like when they had the In Your Houses and all that.
Yeah. So there was a match for the WWF title. It's between X-Pac and The Rock. This what if scenario is, what if X-Pac won the WWF title from The Rock?
You know what? I can actually see X-Pac as a champion. He's one of those where he didn't need the championship, but he could have. I could have seen him in a run. And they actually, he's mentioned it on his, and Xbox 1-2-360, I believe he's mentioned that he, or if not, he's done it on another podcast, but where they were high on him, and he could have. Xbox, let me give me your honest opinion. Do you think he could have been the champion? At least for a little run, even if it was for a week or two, like the way he did the 1-2-3 kid where he got that pin out of, on Razor Ramon out of nowhere. I could
see
him doing that as a championship.
I would have seen him win the title if Triple H helped him win it.
Something, but hey, but he still wins it. My point is, he still wins it, right? It, whether it's help or not, or this is like just like a Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
Dolph Ziggler, hey, that's something you can't take away from him. Dolph Ziggler was fucking.
Anyway, famous. I don't see X-Pac winning it as a face. I always see him winning it as a heel.
Oh yeah, of course, as a heel. That's the only way for him to win a title. I don't see him. Okay, look, the only way I see him winning the title as a face is the way, like I said, the way he did with the 1-2-3 kid. How he became 1-2-3, it was like a out of nowhere kind of thing.
Mhm. But other than that, no, I wouldn't see him win the WWE title because, you know, I don't know. Maybe I would have seen him win the WWE title, but this was The Rock. He was still starting as a heel. He was the next prime champion, so they couldn't have given to him. But it's a nice thought. A little what if. What if here and there. So the next one is, what if Santino Marella won the world championship in the Elimination Chamber, Batman? That would have been horrible.
You know what? I agree with you. Because I just finished saying that X-Pac would have been a good one. Santino, no. Santino, what they did to me was, or what they did to me. Oh, I can't believe they did this to me. No, what they did in their turn, the way they did it, it made sense. You know what I mean? The people were feeling it. They wanted it. But it just wouldn't have been right. Because giving him the championship title would have been like giving David Arquette. You know what I mean? Not that he wasn't good. But again, Santino didn't need the title. Of course he wanted it. But his character just... Look, here's the thing. It's just characters, man. Wrestling is about characters. And some people win, some people don't. And it just... That's the fact. That's the cold, hard fact. Some people win, some people don't, man. And not everybody can be a fucking champion. You know what I mean? So, like, in real life, people make fun of people flipping burgers and blah, blah. You know what? You still... Don't make fun of those people flipping burgers because they're the people flipping burgers for you, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So, hey... Some people don't need the title because they're fucking great fucking workhorses. Perfect example, Owen Hart. Disagree with me if you want, change my mind. I was going to say it. I can't say it, but I'll explain it. X-Pac, or not X-Pac, I'm sorry, DX Cross Chop. So if you don't agree with me, Owens, he didn't need the title. You know, so again, Santino couldn't have done it. I don't see that.
Yeah, I couldn't see him winning it either. He sucked. So that's it for our segments. Let's just talk for a little bit before we head off the air. The first thing I want to talk about is, why is it that every time AJ Styles faces a face competitor, it always turns them heel? It looks like they're writing AJ Styles to be like, he's the reason why your favorite... It's almost like they're writing him, like they're saying, like, he's the reason why your favorite wrestlers, your favorite heroes are turning evil. You noticed that, right?
You're talking about AJ.
Yeah.
That he's the reason why your heels are turning, or the people are turning heels?
Yeah.
Well, to me, I would say Durka, of course. Why would he not be? He's the best in the fucking world. Naturally, you're going to get people that are going to want to go against him, that are want to be better than him.
Yeah, but kayfabe-wise, you should be hating AJ Styles because he's turning your fan favorites into fucking villains.
I mean, that's good, though. This is doing a story. I mean,
good.
Look,
I'm not saying it's bad.
What you're saying. No, I get what you're saying. Okay. I guess I'm saying is, how could somebody say that, though? Like, no, he's bringing something good. He's bringing something great to the business. You know what I mean? That's good. You can't. It's stalemate. You know what I mean? You can't have it being the same way all the freaking time. So who's the best right now? Use a perfect face to turn somebody. Get a perfect face to turn them into the perfect heel.
So is Daniel Bryan going to keep doing the low blow like Nakamura now?
You know what? Speak of the devil. Get a perfect face and turn him into the perfect heel. Daniel Bryan right now is going to be a fucking badass heel if they keep continuing with what they're doing. And I called it out. Well, you actually called it out too. Some podcasts ago where Daniel Bryan, the only way they're going to make this thing come back with Miz later on and to stretch it out to WrestleMania is to have him turn heel. What do they do first? They turn Brie Bella into a heel with the whole Ronda Rousey thing. Now what are they doing? Just you know what's crazy? That simple-ass thing where he did that schoolboy and pinned fucking The Miz. That's when it all went that way.
And the one gave it away to me is that he started wearing green and black. Green is the associative color for evil.
Oh, his trunks, his color scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? Daniel Bryan is a cerebral person to do something like that. You know, he'll put little subliminal things in your head, just like how he attacked the AJ. That's something normal people don't fucking do, but Daniel thinks outside the box. Look at that attack.
You
put your hand, arm behind your back and stomp your face in.
You might even say he's become the new cerebral assassin, if you will.
Oh, well, I mean, if you will. I don't know. I hope you won't, because that's treading water on Triple H.
He finally become what he hated, Triple H.
Daniel Bryan, the corporate guy.
Yes.
Look, Daniel Bryan, the reason I think Daniel Urban, okay. On your knees, dog. I am the game because I am that damn good. Look, Daniel Bryan is one of those guys where he can be a face because he knows how to pace a match. He knows how to use minimal things to get himself over, but he makes a badass heel because he's so fucking creative. Again, going back to the way he attacked AJ Styles after the match. Not only did he fucking low blow him, he put his arms behind his back and stomped his fucking face in. Part of my speech. Au revoir. Comment allez-vous? Comme c'est comme ça? I don't fucking know what I'm saying. He makes a badass heel
question
is
this. The real question is this. This Sunday, he's facing Brock Lesnar. They're both heels.
Tomorrow.
Who the fans are going to cheer for? Daniel Bryan or Brock Lesnar?
You know what? Thank you for bringing that up. Because in the previous podcast, Fatal 4-Way, there was something that you said before we went to break, and I'm glad that you mentioned that because it was something that was in the back of my head. Before we went to break, I was like, no, I actually disagree with you when you were saying that they obviously don't respect the title or something like that because they gave it to Brock Lesnar or something like that in that manner. And I disagreed. I was like, you know what? They give it to AJ because the WWE title is the end-all be-all. He's the one defending it every night. The WWE title is getting highlighted.
I didn't say the title was disrespected. I said that I don't think the heel turn should have happened after Survivor Series.
No, that was something else you said about the title. I wish
I could go
back right now. You were saying something about him with the title that they saw it some certain way or something like that, and I disagreed.
Yeah, okay.
And it wasn't in a terrible way. It was like, no, well, you know what? The reason it had something to do with the title. Man, I wish I could pinpoint it. But it had to do with my rebuttal was this. Know that, you know what? It's good that I would rather Brock Lesnar be the Universal title champion than the WWE title champion. Because if he was the WWE championship, that's disrespecting the title for real, because it really is not getting defended at all. Now the Universal title is, I don't want to say it in a bad way, it's a throwaway belt. Not a throwaway belt, but it's not the WWE title. So that's the belt where you can put it on a person like Brock Lesnar because he doesn't have to appear a lot, but he's still defending a title, but it's not the WWE title. So what you do with the WWE title is give it to a workhorse like AJ Styles. And that's the reason why he can go ahead and turn all those other fucking people heels, because he is a workhorse. He's defending the WWE motherfucking title. Pac the Cod, motherfucking Havid God. He is the fucking WWE title, so he is defending it day in and day out, correct? They just fucking switched the title, the WWE title, on a SmackDown. So some other people can say, oh, you should have done that on a pay-per-view. Fuck no. It's perfect to do it on a SmackDown. This is the WWE title. We're putting highlight on this thing. You want this title fucking match to change. You're talking all this mess about, well, Brock Lesnar never defeats or defends the title. Every other month, he does this, and he still wins, and then the other guy never gives him a chance for this. Fuck that. No,
I just
you know what it is? If you're talking about all that or complaining about that, or I'm saying you, I'm saying in general, when people do that, guess what? You can do that through the Universal. Don't complain about that when stuff like this and SmackDown happens, you know, and you're like, oh, that you should have done that. Or, no, you know what? No, that's what you do is defend the fucking WWE title. What you're complaining about that, don't complain about that with the actual fucking title. So it's great that AJ is the title for the WWE because he's a workhorse and he's defending it every fucking day. It just fucking switched hands on a SmackDown to change the dynamic and the fucking way that the pay-per-view is going for Survivor Series. Because I was really going for AJ and Brock. I wanted to see it again. But hell fucking no. They gave it to Daniel Bryan and a fucking badass heel that he's turning into. This is why Brock Lesnar, and this is going back, the method to my madness is going back to what you were saying, a heel versus heel. Guess what? Brock Lesnar is the face. Daniel Bryan is the heel going in. Even if Daniel Bryan is the fan favorite, and it without even knowing subconsciously, Brock Lesnar is going in as the face to me. Daniel Bryan is going in as the heel.
But what if he starts doing the yes chant?
I don't think he's going to do him.
He can still do it mockingly, though.
Yeah, he can do him. Okay, I'll go back with you saying yes. He can do it mockingly, but I don't think he's going to do it like yes, yes. He's going to do it like, ha, 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 I'm going to laugh in your face. And I can see Daniel Bryan doing that because he's smart. He knows his character. He knows how to manipulate his character, how to get to what he's trying to get to, you know, the message he's trying to get across.
Do you think they're going to change his theme song?
His theme song?
Yes.
No?
Why?
The whole time he was here before that?
Yeah,
but he's been heel.
I think he needs a new theme, in my opinion, you know?
I don't think he's going to change it. That's
not
like saying Ric Flair needed a new theme. Ric Flair's had that theme for fucking 40 years. His whole life. I mean,
some people do.
Some people can. Damn, but Daniel Bryan's... Daniel
Woo!
Bryan's Shawn Michaels is Shawn Michaels.
Like,
Undertaker's Undertaker.
I just feel like this match is either to be good or it could be a throwaway match. I don't know. Something about this match makes me think it's going to be a throwaway.
Look, you know what? And you're not wrong. I actually agree with you. It is a throwaway match. But if you're going to put a throwaway match in there, might as well put a fucking hell of a match in there. So why not Daniel Bryan as a heel? And without you even knowing, Brock Lesnar's the fucking face in this fucking match. You know what I mean? And the only reason he's the face is because, not for nothing, again, he's the Universal. He doesn't defend as much. He's really not. It's like he's the heel in a way because people don't like him, but he's not a heel character. He's just a guy who's just running amok who does whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Well, what will happen if Braun Strowman interferes? What will happen if Braun Strowman interferes?
Oh, well, I mean, that's another twist.
I mean,
that I wouldn't think about.
He's supposed to be the face, and Braun Strowman is also a face.
Calling on cars, calling on cars. This guy pressure. He's taking over the airways, man. We can't control him. Oh my God, it's so dangerous. Where is he at? In Gotham? Yes, he is, man. This guy is about to just rain up, man. He's about to just rain up, man.
By the way, that was Big Daddy V's theme song, and it was horrible. That was the worst theme song of the week. I couldn't understand a word it said. Batman, what's your opinion on Big Daddy V's theme song?
Hey, you know what? I listen to rap, and a lot of times I don't understand a word they say, so I was okay with the song. I actually didn't have a problem with it. That song kind of reminded me of like a D'Lo Brown kind of song. And you know what? It's just a theme song. It's not as bad as the previous ones we've heard. I'm Batman.
All right, so one more quick thing, and then we head off the air. What if Tomorrow is Charlotte versus Ronda. Will Charlotte tap out tomorrow, Batman? Will she tap out?
Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, no, will Ronda Rousey tap out Charlotte? Make Charlotte tap out?
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
I don't think she's going to make a tap out, because if anybody's going to be Ronda, it would be Charlotte, unless they wanted to save it. We're actually getting the WrestleMania match that we've been looking for. We're getting it Survivor Series really early, only because
but
of the
Becky Lynch. But the key point is this. If Charlotte loses, who's left to beat Ronda Rousey? Who's credible?
What do you
enough?
Mean?
Who's
Asuka.
Left? Well, I don't think
did you not hear?
Be
did
Asuka.
You not hear the pop? When Becky Lynch came out, she had to choose somebody else. She was going through Asuka had.
Well, dude,
only did Nia Jax has a good. Not Nia Jax, I'm sorry. Charlotte had a good pop, but Asuka had a fucking hell of a pop.
But, dude,
she had
that's
one of those, like,
want.
Lita. That's, cause that's what we want. But the thing is,
yeah,
look, Ronda's going to have to lose regardless, bro. She's going to have to lose. She's going to lose eventually. So who do you lose? If you're going to lose to somebody, look, the people, I can't swear because I don't really know, but Becky was going to be the one to come close to making her lose. If not, if she wasn't going to lose that night, she was going to come close. They were going to put her in a position. They were going to make this match to where you're really going to feel like, look, Ronda's been selling her ass off. But that's not the only sympathy we want from her. We want to see her. We got to humanize the girl. She's a fucking wrecking machine right now, right? Just killing everybody. But someone's going to have to take her down. So who's going to be the... It was the man. Like, the whole storyline was going perfectly for that. But again, even if she didn't win, she was going to get close enough to do that to show, like, look, you're not the machine that you think you are. Somebody's going to get you, and I came close. And so now she got injured. She can't go in there. Who's the only one next in line? Again, look at the pop. Asuka. Charlotte. And you know what? It's good. Before that, just the final thing. Asuka got the bigger pop than Charlotte. It's smart to put Charlotte first, because if Asuka got the bigger pop, you want to give that last. You know what I mean? You got a big-ass fucking meal. You're going to give the main course. You know, that's Asuka is the main thing. You're going to put the best for last. So that pop just goes to show it. So, yeah, continue.
All right, so let's have a little bet, right? If Asuka loses, then I know who could be the one to beat her. But if Asuka wins, that's it. So the person who I think is gonna beat Ronda Rousey if Asuka doesn't done it is Ember Moon.
And I utterly completely don't disagree with you at all. Like, I do see something like that, and I think they're pushing her to become something bigger. And a lot of times, sometimes the way they do that is not by making them like Ember. It's not going to be the kind of person or the character where you're going to make her run amok and really dominate like a Nia Jax or a Tamina, right? So what you do is let her ass get beat up first. So she takes a beating, and she takes a beating, and she takes a beating. So that way you're like, fuck, quit fucking her up like that, man. Don't do that. That's wrong, you know? Again, we're suspending disbelief or whatever. But you're going to get to the point where, like, that she's the little one out of the two. So that's the perfect way to do it. I can see what you're saying with Ember Moon, because she would be like the underdog. She is actually the same size as Ronda, but Ronda has this thing where she's bigger than life. She's a small fucking person compared to everybody else there, right? Perfect example of the match she had with Nia. But her stature, the way she carries herself, she's bigger than a Nia Jax. You get what I mean? She carries more... She's a legit person. She carries a chip on her shoulder kind of thing. So Ember Moon is like the same size, but she's an underdog. She's not a Ronda Rousey. She's not an Olympic person. She's not a UFC champion. She's not a WWE woman's champion. You know what I mean? So in order for her to get over that hill is to get some sympathy on her and just get her ass beat for a little bit. So when she's like a Rey Mysterio, you know? Rey Mysterio was the size as Shawn Michaels, almost. But Shawn Michaels had a bigger lineage to him, so he was a bigger-than-life person. you know, I could see him against Kane, but I saw them at the same size. You know, when you look at the size differences, it's always the same size. Because Shawn Michaels is a legend, you know what I mean? So it's an Ember Moon. I could see what you're saying, but they would have to do it that way. It's that, like the way
yeah.
they're now with the Tamina and the Nia Jax. She's going to go somewhere, and we may not see it now, or some people may not see it. We don't follow it, be like, oh, it's just whatever. No, they're doing that to get that empathy, that sympathy from her. So when she fucking does people that, she's like, yeah, you, she really did, you know, the Chihuahua win against those two pit bulls, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
The Ember Moon would be a good choice for a Ronda. And that would
all
be a
right.
good storyline to do it that way.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for tonight's episode of Radio Renegades. This has been Christian from Philly, and as always, and this and my co-host Batman, and remember to join us tomorrow night after Survivor Series on the World Generation Network, where we will be on Survivor Series Fallout when we review the whole Survivor Series play-per-view and see if we like the show or not. So, as always, keep it real. As one, and as always, to quote my producer, keep it real, keep it heel, keep it sexy. Join us next Saturday at 8 p.m., ladies and gentlemen. See you there.
Yeah.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.